Now, we're coming again to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And our text for this morning is the verse 2 of the chapter. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Let's just seek God's help and prayer. Father, thank you for this precious book that we hold in our hands, for the opportunity that we have to read it in a language that we can understand. We ask now that as we come to consider its truth, that the same Spirit who penned and preserved these words might now come and write them upon our hearts. Teach us, we pray. Teach us how to live our lives in accordance with the Word of God, that we too might bring glory and honour unto thy name. And may we desire that sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby. We ask these things in our Saviour's precious name. Amen. Well, this morning we want to continue to look at what we've described as some of the duties and responsibilities of church membership. And I want to bring to your consideration something that perhaps you might not have thought of as being a responsibility of membership. And it's this: growing in grace. Growing in grace. We have a responsibility as believers to ensure that we are growing in grace. I'm reminded of the story of a little girl who went to bed one night and fell asleep. And about half an hour later, there was an almighty thud. She had fallen out of bed, and her mother came running in to see what had happened. And she said, "What happened to you, dear?" And the little girl looked up at her mother and said, "I think I fell asleep too close to where I got in." Well, we don't want that to be our testimony as believers, that we fall asleep too close to where we got in. We want to continue on in our Christian life and experience. We want to develop and mature and grow in the things of God. We don't want to be falling asleep at all. We want to be going on with the Lord, growing in grace. So let me begin this morning by asking you a question. And I'm not looking for you to raise your hand or to give me any kind of verbal answer, because, well, it's a question we don't want to answer too loudly. We don't like the answer. The question is this: what kind of church would my church be if every member were just like me? I probably wouldn't come. I see a few others agreeing with me. What kind of church would my church be if every member were just like me? Would it be a great church? Or would it be something else? But the reality is that our church is what we are as members. And no church can ever be anything more than what its members are. I heard of a family that belonged to a certain church, the Tate family. And I kind of said that in a way that Australians will understand me. Tate. T-A-T-E. The Tate family. Quite a number of them belong to churches. There's old man Dick Tate, who wants to run everything. And there's Uncle Ro Tate, who wants to change everything. And Sister Agitate, who wants to stir up trouble. And she gets plenty of help from her husband, Erie Tate. And whenever new projects are suggested, Brother Hesitate wants to wait until next year. And then there's old Aunt Imitate, who wants the church to be just like the other churches across the way. Then there's Mr. Devastate, who provides the voice of doom, while old man Potentate wants to be the big shot and have all the authority. I don't know that there's too many of the Tate family here in attendance this morning. I hope we're not belonging to that extended family, because they're not the kind of members that produce great Christians. So what kind of members ought we to be, that our church might be one that we would be wanting to attend? Well, this is the question that we're seeking to answer. What kind of church we ought to be. We want to be growing Christians, growing churches. And I'm not thinking in terms of numerical growth, although that would be wonderful if the Lord were so pleased to bless us in that regard. I'm thinking of spiritual growth. Because we are all aware that there are plenty of churches that have lots of people in attendance, and you might say that they're a mile wide and an inch deep. There's no depth of reality to their Christianity. We want to grow spiritually. We don't want to be baby Christians all of our days. We want to develop and mature in our faith. And so we want to look this morning at those things that are essential in order for real spiritual growth to take place in our life. We don't want to be spiritually immature. And the measuring stick for a great church is not how many gather for a service, but it's the maturity of those that gather that counts. I read a quotation from Philip Brooks, who was a Puritan back in the late 1700s, and this is what he said: "Sad will be the day for every man when he becomes absolutely content with the life that he is living, with the thoughts that he is thinking, with the deeds that he is doing, when there is not forever a meeting at the doors of his soul, some great desire to do something more, something larger, something greater, which he knows that he was meant and made to do because he is a child of God." That really struck me. That no matter what we may be seeking to do for the Lord, that there is knocking on our heart's door, as Philip Brooks said, a desire to do something more. Something greater, something larger for the Lord. We don't want to be a child of God and be content. The scriptures warn us actually of being at ease in Zion. Thinking that we've made it, thinking that we have accomplished everything there is to be accomplished. There ought to be the desire in the heart of every child of God to be more and to do more for their Savior. We don't want to be the Christian who views their salvation as merely being a passport to heaven and an escape from hell. We have gotten in, but we have never gone on in our faith. We don't want to be those type of Christians that confess to be saved, but when it comes to growing spiritually, there's very little evidence of Christian fruit in their life. The scriptures demand from us that we be growing in Christ. Now, sometimes our growth is very slow. I understand that. But I also believe that whether the progress is slow or not, there ought to be progress. There ought to be development. There ought to be growth. And that's what Peter's talking about here in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." The cross in chapter 3 and the verse 18, I think I've got the wrong reference here. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. He says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever." Grow in grace. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we want to think this morning about the spiritual growth and how we can be growing church members. Now, the first thing that we have to say with regards to this growth in grace and growth in Christ is that it is a life that is given to us by the Saviour. Peter describes those to whom he's speaking of in our text this morning as newborn babes. The Greek word for newborn speaks of one that is just born. Just born. It speaks of a new convert. Someone who's just recently been born into the family of God. That's what and where we were when we were first converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. We were newborn babes in Christ. You remember the Savior said to Nicodemus that except a man be born again, he's speaking of that new birth that comes from on high. We're born physically, but you need to be born spiritually. So we're thinking of our new birth, our birth into salvation. As newborn babes, he said, we are to desire the sincere milk of the Word. Now, Peter speaks quite a lot about this new birth. For instance, in chapter 1, in verse 23, he says, being born again, and that's the same idea of our birth into Christ. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So when Peter's speaking of us being born again, he's speaking of our salvation, our second birth, our birth from above. Our first birth is physical, but we need a second birth. We must be born again if we're ever to see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus was confused. He said, can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb? He missed the whole idea. No, born from above, born spiritually unto God. In our first birth, our physical birth, we received life from our parents. In our second birth, our spiritual birth, we received life from Christ. So to be a newborn babe is to have a life that has been given to you by Christ. And it's a life that grace offers. The first thing we understand about this life is that we can't merit it. And we don't earn it. And we can't purchase it. It's a life that's given by grace and by grace alone. In Titus 2 in verse 11, Paul says, the grace of God brings salvation and hath appeared unto all men. It's by God's grace that salvation is offered to us. We were reminded of that when we looked at Ephesians chapter 2 and the verses 8 and 9 just a few weeks ago. There we read that it's by grace, the unmerited favour of God, that ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. To say that salvation is by grace is to realise that neither you nor I can do anything to save ourselves. We can't purchase our salvation. We can't earn it by our good works. We're not saved by being good. Because even at our very best, the Bible reminds us in Romans 3 and 23 that we come short of the glory of God. We don't reach the divine standard. Now, when a person does their day's work, they ought to receive a fair day's pay for their time and for their effort. We call that a wage. You get a wage. When a person competes against an opponent in a sporting event, and they overcome, they receive a trophy for their performance, well, that's a prize. When a person receives appropriate recognition for their long service or for their high achievements, that's an award. But when a person who is not capable of earning a wage and can win no prize and deserves no award, yet receives a gift anyway, that's grace. And that's a picture of what God gives to us. We can't earn His salvation. We don't merit it. We can't win it as a prize. We don't deserve it as an award. Yet God in grace comes and saves whom He will. It's a life that's obtained by grace and through faith. By grace are you saved through faith. I'm reminded of the words of John chapter 3 and verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And while we cannot earn this salvation, we can accept it by faith. Now what does it mean to accept God's salvation by faith? It is to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, as He hung upon the cross, that He died for our sins, that He was buried and rose again from the dead, and to personally accept His sacrifice as the grounds of your acceptance before God. That He paid the price for our sin and our guilt. He paid our debts. He suffered the consequences of everything that we have done wrong in order that we might not have to. That's why the Bible describes it as a gift. And if you're offered a gift, all that you have to do to make it yours is to receive it. And the Lord Jesus Christ purchased salvation for His church. And it is ours through faith. Whosoever shall call or ask upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we have this new life given to us by grace through faith, that we are now born into the family of God. We have a new birth. We're born again, not of corruptible seed, but by the Word of God. So we have a spiritual birth. We are born into Christ. It's all because of grace. Now here's what Peter's saying. You who have experienced that new birth into Christ, grow. Grow. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow. Are we growing? It's an exciting time when a baby is born into a family. I remember with tears of joy my own four being born. It is a precious and blessed time to hold in your arms a little one gifted to you from the Lord, or a heritage from the Lord, the sons. Do you know what's remarkable about that newborn babe that's in your arms? You know the first thing that it wants more than anything else? The sincere milk. And the first thing they do with that newborn babe is that they hand it to its mother. And almost by instinct, it begins to feed. And almost from the very instant it's born, it begins to feed. And it begins to grow. And week by week, the baby's taken along, and it's measured, and it's weighed, and it's remarkable. Every week it's growing in length, every week it's growing in weight, and it begins to develop, it begins to make sounds, it begins to see, then it begins to cut teeth and cry all night, but these are steps of development. Then it learns to sit up, and then to crawl, and then to pull itself up on the furniture and take its first tentative steps along the couch or the sofa. And then it begins to take a step on its own. And it's with tears of joy that mum and dad stand just a few steps apart and let the child walk between them, and they're there to hold and to catch them when it's needed. And then before too long, they're running. They're growing. They're developing. They're talking. And it's marvelous to see that miracle taking place before you. How tragic it would be If 3 years later, after their birth, they're still a newborn baby in your arms and they haven't grown, they haven't developed. Yeah, that's what so many are spiritually. Just newborn babes, they've never grown. Because in the same way that a newborn baby grows physically, we as newborn babes in Christ start to grow spiritually. John writes to these things in his apostle, in his epistle, the first epistle of John, chapter 2. He says, I write unto you fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children, because ye have known the Father. And John's describing different levels of maturity in the believers to whom he's writing. There's little children, there's young men, there's fathers, there's levels of maturity, there's progression in their spiritual growth in their Christian faith. Now, what is the means whereby we are able to grow spiritually? Well, I came across a list and I thought I would share with you 7 rules for spiritual growth. Number 1, daily food. Desire the sincere milk of the Word. The Word, being the Scriptures of truth, is to us the food that is necessary for our daily growth. In the same way the baby desires milk, we ought to desire the spiritual food of the Scriptures. We need daily food. Number 2, fresh air. And by that I mean praying. Prayer is the oxygen of the soul. We ought to be praying daily, coming before the Lord, seeking His face, communing with Him, praying over the things that we have just read, how we can apply them to our lives, how we can grow in grace. Number 3, regular exercise. Put into practice what you have learned. Number 4, adequate rest. I didn't realize that was so important until I had teenagers. And I'm told they do most of their growing when they're sleeping. That maybe accounts for the difficulty of getting them out of bed in the morning, but they're growing. Adequate rest. Resting on the Lord at all times. Thy simple faith. No, that's just necessary for growth. Good surroundings. A healthy atmosphere. Avoid evil company. Avoid those that will weaken you spiritually. Love and nurture, let me add to the list. Be part of a church where you will benefit from the teaching of scriptural truth and from Christian fellowship and from opportunities for service. And then 7, regular checkups. You go to the doctors for a regular checkup. Get blood pressure tested, and heart rates, and all kinds of things. Well, we need spiritual checkups. See how we're doing. And our text this morning speaks of one of those rules, desiring the sincere milk of the Word. Peter is describing Christians who have a spiritual hunger. That word desire, in verse 2, desire the sincere milk of the Word, it speaks of an intense craving. Speaks of someone who's very hungry. And what ought Christians to be very hungry for? Well, Peter calls it the sincere milk of the Word. The sincere Word. And that word sincere is worthy of our attention. You know what it means? Undiluted. Unadulterated. We want the undiluted milk of the Word. We don't want it watered down. We want the pure Word of God. And in the same way that a babe is given milk to satisfy their hunger and to enable them to grow, Christian, we are to have a hunger for the Word of God so that we may grow spiritually. And I know that there are all kinds of books and helps that you can find them in local bookshops, and even there's some on display in the back of the church. But you know, It's the Word of God that is the pure and undiluted Scripture and truth that we need. It's the food that we must have if we're going to grow. That's why we give the instruction to those who are newborn babes in Christ. Get a Bible. Read it every day. Because if we neglect to spend time in God's Word, we will not be growing spiritually. Here's the food that you need for your spiritual growth. Again, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I wonder, are there any Christians here today that haven't opened their Bible this week, haven't read? I'm not trying to scold you. I didn't ask for a show of hands for that particular reason. But if we're going to grow spiritually, we need a steady diet of the Scriptures. So how often should we as Christians be reading our Bible? Well, how many times a week do you eat? Do you eat every other day, or just a couple of days a week, maybe just once on the weekend? We eat every day. We provide for our bodies physically every day. We give it nourishment every day. How often should we be eating for our soul? Well, I suggest every day. We ought to make it a daily practice to be reading the Scriptures every day. It said of David Livingstone, the great missionary pioneer to Africa, that when he first started his trek across the continent, that he had in all of his packs, he had 73 books that he brought with him. But after the party had gone a significant distance, those who were carrying his packages were growing tired, and it became necessary then to throw away some of those books because of the fatigue of those who were carrying the baggage. And the further they went, the less books they carried, until that library that began with 73 books finished up with just the one. There was one book that he couldn't part with. It was the Word of God. That book that was necessary for his spiritual life. Job said in Job 23 in verse 12, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. If you're given a choice between food for your body or food for your soul, Job says, take the food for your soul. It's more important for you. It's essential for your spiritual health. So let me challenge you to do two things. Set aside a time each day to read your Bible, and if possible, develop a system for reading the Scriptures. There is on the back table some daily reading calendars. Some people like to use them to know what to read each day and to tick them off and to go through the Bible in a year. Robert Murray McShane's calendar is perhaps one of the more famous ones, but there's a number there. Find one that fits, that suits you. You may want to start from Genesis and read right through to Revelation. Find a system. Read your Bible. Read a chapter. Read two chapters. Read a few verses. But read something. We need that spiritual food for our soul. I know of one man who reads a chapter from the book of Proverbs every day, along with other readings. He reckons there are 31 chapters in Proverbs. That's one a day. And the wisdom of God helps him in his daily life. Now, you may find something that works for you. Read as often as you eat. Read as you eat. You finish your meal. Call for dessert. Call for the Word of God. Read it. But we encourage you to be found daily in the Scriptures. Desire that sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. What was it Peter said in 2 Peter 3:18? Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. There's two particular areas in which we are to grow. Grow in grace and grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour. Albert Barnes, commenting on this matter, said, with regards to growing in grace, religion in general is often represented as grace, since every part of it is the result of grace. And to grow in grace is to increase in that which constitutes true religion. So in other words, he's saying to grow in grace is to grow in all of those areas that involve your spiritual life. So for the Christian, that means we're growing in prayer. We're growing in faith. We're growing in service. We're growing in the will of God. To grow in grace means to be growing spiritually in all of these areas. We are to increase in our awareness and our experience of the things of God. Grow in grace. And then he says, grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We want to be learning more about our Saviour, getting to know him more, spending time with him. You ever witness a young couple that begin to grow together, form feelings for one another? They want to spend every moment with that person. And they're talking, and they're relating backwards and forwards because they want to know more about that person for whom their heart has fallen. Well, if we are in love with the Lord Jesus Christ as we ought to be, then we'll want to spend time with him. We'll want to listen to him as he speaks, and become better acquainted with him and with his ways. We sang the hymn this morning, more about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. We want to be knowing more about our Savior. It said of Moses, back in the book of Exodus, chapter 33 and verse 11, that the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaks unto his friend. What an intimate relationship with the Lord. And as we grow spiritually, we are growing closer and closer to our Savior. What's the motive behind all of this? Why should we do it? Again, I draw your attention to 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. Grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. There's our motive if we need one. That God may be glorified in our life. Here's the ultimate purpose for everything we do as Christians. To glorify God. That's what our spiritual growth does. It glorifies God. So let's seek to have that life that's godly for Christ. Laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, and as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. May we be growing Christians. May that be one of the things that marks us as followers of Christ, that we are growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior. Let's bow in prayer. Our gracious Father, we ask that thou would continue to speak to us through thy precious word. Imprint this verse upon our hearts. And even when we separate from one another, may it be that thy Holy Spirit will come and bring to our remembrance again that which we have considered this morning, that as newborn babes, that we are to desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. And in so doing, may we grow in grace, and may we grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May we not be stunted Christians. May we not be those who have not grown because we have not fed upon the Word. But we pray that we might be developing and growing and spiritually mature, and in all of our ways acknowledging Thee and desiring ever to bring glory unto Thy name. These things we pray through Christ our Saviour.